Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit bartesian.com/cocktail. That's bartesian.com/cocktail.
Y'all, I am so excited because Through the Gryffindor is heading back out on tour. Starting in February of 2025, we'll be performing live shows in Charlotte, Orlando, Tampa, Jacksonville, Atlanta, and Nashville. And as always, we will be bringing all of the magic with a tour-long Jay versus Ben trivia showdown with questions submitted and asked by all of you. And then, of course, we will dim the lights for a live recording of Through the Gryffindor. And y'all, these nights have made for some of my all-time favorite since we have started making content on the internet. It is truly a magical evening, nerding out Harry Potter style with the very best community online. Plus, we have a VIP upgrade for each show if you want to come and meet Jay and I, take photos, ask questions, and score an exclusive signed tour poster before the show begins. We would love to see you. We'd love to meet you, and we hope you will come and join us for all of the fun. Tickets are available in the show notes for every show or at supercarlinbrothers.com.
You're holding bananas, huh?
Ben's playing with the soundboard again.
It's a soundboard kind of day,
people.
Oh,
it is.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin, and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Yeah, I would say that physically I'm here, Ben. Physically I'm here.
But emotionally?
But like spiritually, mentally and emotionally, I feel like I'm really distracted today.
You're distracted.
I'm distracted,
it
Ben.
It is Tuesday, November 5, 2024.
It's Tuesday, November 5th, 2024, election day as we record it. And I have to say, I keep trying to do things and then I keep being distracted by something.
You know, I've had the weirdest emotional day ever because I think I woke up this morning and it fully hit me just how like stressed this has been making me without realizing
yes.
how stressed I was.
Yes.
And then I woke up and I think immediately I was like, oh, it'll be over after today.
So that's a good feeling.
And so like I woke up with like a skip in my step. I was like, I know. I was like, I'm so jolly. Like,
I know.
This is so great. And as the day has gone on, I feel like I've only become like increasingly more like, I feel like it's time to go home. Like at some point, I think at like, you know, it's 2:44 right now in the afternoon. And I was like, maybe we just shouldn't work today.
I mean, a lot of people have the day off.
That's you know? True. That's true.
I wonder
yeah.
why.
Yeah.
I know. I'm like, I just like all I want to do is go home and sit on the couch and watch the election coverage and hope it, you know, lands my way.
My way. Good. Yes. So on this note, Jay, when you imagine a dump, what do you imagine to be at the dump?
At
like,
a dump?
So talking like a place for trash, the grounds where it seems like maybe there's like steam coming from like who knows what, maybe.
Right. Just some gas like, being released.
Like you picture the gas though, right?
Like
you,
yeah, like, there's like weird pockets of like...
Of just like a fissure is coming out of the...
Fissure!
Is coming out of the ground.
And what is like, making you think about dumps?
Well, I don't know. I mean, nothing.
Okay.
What's making you think about dumps? Jeez, what's with the fifth degree?
Okay.
Tell me what objects are at this
like,
dump.
You're like, kids, we're going to the dump today.
We're going
to the dump.
Yes.
We're going to see mounds of blank.
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 Things and such. Because for some reason in my mind, I always think about like all of the large scale plastic, like little tykes, toys, carts, vehicles, picnic tables, slides that like people, you know, set out next to the road.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, they take them there. So it's like, I don't think of like bags of trash, despite the fact that that's probably like the primary. It's
probably like mostly bags of trash.
Mostly bags of trash. But I think about all like the bulk things that end up there.
Mostly bags of trash. Band name called it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Right, it's yours.
We are mostly bags of trash. What's up, New York?
What is up?
We're mostly bags of trash. That's a terrible band name. Or great.
Or great.
What do you think? You know what? I called it, but you can have it, listeners.
Oh, you're just
if you want to make there. If you want your garage band to be called Mostly Bags of Trash.
Do you think that the mascot for Mostly Bags of Trash is a snowman that has been made out of like large bags of trash, and then like maybe like instead of like a carrot nose, it's got like a traffic cone?
Oh, that's great! Yeah, I like that a lot. Yeah.
It's kind of like I'm sort of like into it all of a sudden.
Yeah,
because it's a fun mascot.
He's got like a human arm. But he's mostly bags of trash.
He's mostly bags, but it's like stapled on.
It's like, oh, that's so much worse.
It is worse.
It is worse.
I hate that part of it.
Yeah, never mind. There's no human arm.
No human arm. Just no human arm. Maybe like an old TV antenna.
Mm-hmm. Coming out of his head, maybe. Yeah.
What would the eyes could be like old socks.
Old socks. That sounds good. Yep. I'm liking the sound of this. Mostly bags of trash, man.
Okay, the top hat. We need something good for a top hat.
He's already got a pretty big nose.
He does have a big nose. Yeah. I mean, or maybe he's just quite large.
I guess so.
So now you could think of something
more like a monster even.
Yeah. 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 Like what would be fittingly large? Like, so if a carrot stick is a usual nose and now we're using a full-sized traffic cone, what would an appropriate hat be for the mascot of Mostly Bags of Trash?
Like probably like one of those like newspaper sailor hats, you know?
What's a newspaper sailor hat?
Like when kids like make like a hat out of like paper and they put it on their head.
Oh.
Yeah.
So this particular trash man has molded himself out of a bunch of old newspapers, a rather large scale, like almost sailboat looking hat.
And when you say molded, I assume you mean he has taken the time to mold, like to allow mold to grow on newspapers
probably
that he has then folded into a hat.
Right.
So it's like a slightly decaying, moldy paper hat.
So come see us on our first ever world tour, Mostly Bags of Trash.
Mostly Bags of Trash.
Yeah, it's gonna be a hootin' and hollering great time. I actually do sort of love this. I can picture the T-shirt if I'm being completely H with you.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. To answer me this, as long as we're bouncing around with no rhyme or reason. I keep saying H in lieu of saying honest. Like if I'm being H with you. I don't know that I picked it up from anywhere. I don't know where I would have picked it up.
Where you would have picked it up?
I'm not on social media anymore, so I don't know where I could be like learning the vernac, as it were.
Yeah.
But I've been saying it as if it is vernac.
As if it is vernac.
But then I'm like, well, maybe it's just my own vernac.
You know, okay, you have been saying it, and I know that H is often like in other acronyms, it is like, it stands for honest, I guess.
Well, there's like IMHO, and it's like, in my honest opinion, in my humble opinion, it could be one or the other.
Right. I think it's honest opinion.
In
my humble opinion, in my honest opinion. I think I always read it in my brain as honest opinion.
In my honest opinion.
In my honest opinion.
I always think of it as humble opinion, because then it always seems like, by the fact that you're using an acronym, it already feels like you're not being humble. Because you're
being disingenuous.
You're stating your awareness over this online vernacular talk by using an abbreviation.
Stating how humble you are is often the most ironic part of it.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know,
in my humble opinion,
humble people don't reference their own humility.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Right.
Unless they're accepting an Academy Award, which is the rare occasion wherein I think I'm like finally starting to come around like on it, because people always like they achieve essentially the award for like the highest possible honor in their field, and they always say how humbling it is, and I'm always like, what do you mean humbling? You literally just achieved like the pinnacle of your sport.
Yeah,
that is the top of the mountain.
Yeah, like it is the opposite of humbling.
Right. Yes, it is the least humbling experience ever. But I think it's because it means that they have joined the ranks of all these people who they've always looked up to. And so now in present company, it is almost as if like, I cannot believe I am now amongst this crowd of people, which could be humbling.
I suppose.
It took me a really long time. That's probably what they mean by that. So maybe it's not as broken of a line as I've always thought it to be.
Okay. But you think, but you, so when you say IMHO, you're thinking, I'm not that I use that acronym. I don't think I've used it like in my whole life.
Oh yeah, I don't think I have.
I read it a lot and I'm always like emho.
I think I have ironically used it before.
Okay.
Like if I'm attempting to be like pretentious in some way, I'll do it, which is not to say that I think that all people who say it is pretentious. I just think that when I've been assuming the character of pretentious Ben, it's something that pretentious Ben would say.
Ah,
you know?
Okay.
I feel like I'm not trying to come on the attack for people who say it. I'm mostly just saying that that's the only context I've been able to find where I use it.
Right. Is the H for honest, you mean?
No. I usually think of H as humble.
H, okay.
Yeah.
But you've been saying H as honest.
Like, yeah, I've been saying H as honest. Like, I'll be H with you guys.
I'll be H with you guys. Okay. I will. It is funny that you bring this up because you've done it a few times. And I always have to like think for an extra second about what you mean by H.
Oh, interesting.
Because
okay.
I don't know why, but like, I think when H used by itself, I always like it. It to me means the word hot. Like as in like spicy, you know, not sorry, that's bad. I mean spicy in the way that like a lot of fairy novels are, you know.
That's how I took it the first time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
Hot like spicy like it's burning your mouth.
No, you mean like hot,
like hot,
like pronounced like h-a-w-t,
hot,
hot.
Exactly, like that's hot.
Now that is, yeah, okay, yeah. So when I've said it in the past, like if I'm like standing around like, you know, the office and chatting with you guys, and I'm like, I'm gonna be totally H with you guys.
Yeah.
I am tired today. you're reading it as, I'm gonna be totally hot with you guys right now.
Yes. And I was like, that's not what he means. That's not what he means.
Jay's texting everybody in the room like, Ben is misspoke.
I have to keep apologizing to everybody.
Yeah, I just go behind you all the time and just sort of sweep up the mess as we go.
Let me be H.
Like, he doesn't.
You mean that?
He doesn't know what he's saying.
He's not even on the socials.
Although, not that I'm not on the socials, Jay, because I don't want to brag, but I cracked into Reddit this week.
Oh, you cracked into the Reddit? Did you check the popcorn culture Reddit?
No.
No.
I didn't. I have a very bizarre relationship with social media, but earlier this week, we were doing our, ever since the pandemic, this is like one of those weird things that changed, but I just stopped going physical grocery shopping. Like, we would order our groceries to our house because it was like a way to like avoid going to the stores
right.
during the pandemic. And we figured, you know, if there are people out there doing the shopping, like that's providing like a job to people, you know, to
yeah.
do, you know, which yeah. I also saw as a good thing. So we just started doing it and then we never stopped doing it. And in the beginning, we had like a couple like kind of funny snafus that popped up. And then basically since then, it seemed like people like really dialed in. Like
what you meant, probably.
What you meant, yeah. Like it kind of reminds me like in the beginning of like when Uber first launched and people were like, get in the car with a complete stranger. Like, no, thank you.
Right.
And like now it is like completely.
Like a taxi.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right.
If it's not yellow, I'm not interested.
Yeah. Also a car with a complete stranger.
Yeah. Also a car yeah. with a complete stranger. But it's like somehow they seem licensed in a different way or something. I don't know. But I remember people thinking like, because I think even when we were kids growing up, like the idea of getting into a car with strangers was like huge, giant red flag.
Well, I still wouldn't tell kids to go do it. Yeah.
No, of course. Yeah, yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. Good disclaimer. Don't get in cars with strangers unless you happen to have ordered it through the Uber app. And at that point in time, still check your license plate just to be safe.
Yeah.
But like I remember the recoil that people were having in the beginning. And I think it's just like, you know, kind of like getting acclimated. It's like a new way of doing things. And so I felt the same way when I first started doing like the grocery delivery, where
yeah.
like sometimes like they would like make a substitution and you're like, wow, that was not even close.
Not even close.
But just this past week, we had our delivery come through, and Alice had tried to order 6 bananas, and instead we were delivered 6 pounds of bananas. honestly, I say 6 pounds. We got 6 bushels.
I was gonna say
of bananas.
You sent the picture, and I was like, "That's way more. Like, that's got to be way more than 6 pounds."
I think it probably is. Yeah, because it's probably 36 bananas.
Right.
However much 36 bananas weighs.
Yeah.
But. Like it was the funniest message ever, and I like screenshotted it and sent it to our like office Slack chat, and I think that everybody immediately thought that I was just like sending a kind of bad meme to everybody because like the way that it screenshotted sort of was like a little bit pixelated. Like it immediately had the vibes of like this is a picture that has been reposted like 11 million times, and like,
right,
the pixel degradation has like gotten so severe that you can tell it's been shared
way too many times.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, just quick aside, I was watching literally MKBHD had a TikTok he uploaded yesterday where he had like downloaded it and then re-uploaded it 1,000 times to TikTok.
Oh my god!
And then like had like just spliced it all together, and like by the end he's just like a glowing red magma thing.
Weird. You
know? Yeah, it was so weird. It was like, what an interesting idea. And yeah, it like the amount of quality lost over time was super interesting to see. And like after 100, he had to like sub in his like original audio again because it was like at this point you can't understand, it's like just jarbled.
No way.
Yeah, stuff,
like it got that bad.
It got that bad. Yeah.
These are interesting little like glimpses that I sometimes am curious about, like where if you ever used like an AI art generator, typically what you'll do, so like we tend to use like Midjourney here in office, which is like a Discord based AI art platform, and it's like you normally what you'll do is you put like a backslash and then you'll do like imagine and then you'll put like I don't know, Harry Potter as a football player,
right?
And it'll like create the image of Harry Potter as a football player. But the interesting thing to me about it is that for the first few seconds, no matter what prompt you put into it, it will always come up with like this weird almost like
dark hole
looking thing.
Yeah.
And there's like this part of me that's almost like, is AI like pulling information from a literal black hole? Like it feels like a weird, like our technology has met the like science of the natural world, and now they are literally like behaving in ways that are like similar to one another somehow.
Right. Like I know exactly what you mean because you're right. Almost no matter what you put in, it will like appear to look like a black hole for like the first like 3% of the rendering.
Yes.
And yeah, like it'll eventually start to, you know, take shape into whatever it's drawing. But then you're like, it looks so much like a black hole. You're like, what? It's that like, are we living in a simulation kind of thing?
It's exactly,
and
like
you're
that,
like,
yeah,
are black holes just unrendered like things?
Right.
You know,
right, yes, yes.
Like are actual black holes just like, you know, some sort of way larger version of ourselves rendering something else, and we've just found a way to like replicate it, and it's like this is what it looks like in digital form, that's what's actually happening out in real life, you know?
Right.
Yeah,
right, yes, no, exactly. And it's so interesting because like if you've ever seen like the image of like black holes from like NASA or whatever, it's this really kind of like bizarre, I guess it's really not that crazy of a shape, but it's like a circle that has like two lines going off in either directions from it. And it almost reminds me of the device referred to as a one wheel. Like,
can you sort of picture that?
So the one wheel is almost like a go-kart tire that is just mounted to like a skateboard, and the tire sits like between your legs, and you sort of have to like find a balance point in order for it to drive and stuff. And it's a really weird little device, but that is like what I always consider a black hole to look like.
Yeah.
And but you're right. Yeah. It's like, is a black hole just like unrendered space?
Right.
And it's like,
just turn into something else.
What the heck?
We'll see. You know, it'll take, you know, 2 million years to get there. But when it's there, it is going to look like Dobby in a Santa Claus hat.
Exactly. Yeah, that's it. Festive Dobby. Oh, man. Good times. Okay. So what were we talking about before we talked about black holes and AI and the likelihood that we're living in a simulation?
I mean, we started on dumps. I don't know.
A dump. Yeah, where all the play school things go.
Where all the play school things go. To me, you know what? I don't picture play school things at dumps.
No?
Because I don't think I've ever known anyone to own a brand new play school thing. They're always like upcycled. It's like those meat. Oh, we were talking about bananas, but you're right. It's like it's got that like pixel look to it. Like
yeah.
All play school backyard things have that pixel look to it.
Why are they all sunburnt?
Because you never bring them inside.
You know, I mean, I guess you never bring them inside, but yeah, it's like every single, like, I don't think, yeah, you're right. Like, I don't think I've ever seen one that isn't like sort of faded from sun rays.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Because they're all getting beat up by the sun and their kids are constantly growing out of them, but they're not like functionally useless. So everyone knows people who are just having kids who can benefit from this still like very functional, but now sun damaged play school toy. And that happens to every play school toy. 10 times
until they finally go to the dump.
Maybe that's when they go to the dump.
Yeah. So yeah, what do you picture there though? And then we'll get back to bananas.
I don't know. I mean, bags of trash,
diapers,
you know, all of the, every like just endless used Funko Pop figures.
Okay.
Just, you know, lots of them.
Lots and lots. So you think of like, so basically you're thinking more modern day plastics.
Yeah. Modern plastics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's an interesting one is, you know how people like refer to like the trash island in like the Pacific?
Yeah.
I don't even know if people think it's in the Pacific or in the ocean, but I wanted to know, like, because one curiosity I've always had about this like bizarre accumulation of trash, which kind of makes sense to me because like in almost every aquarium I've ever set up, you would always include these things called power heads.
Yeah.
And basically the idea is that you have to create circulation inside of the aquarium. So like underwater fans that will blow water around because corals are used to the ever-changing like waves and tides, and this is like the way that they're usually able to like uptake nutrients from the water column.
Okay.
And so inevitably though, in every aquarium you will fail to prevent dead spots. And so dead spots are like where you'll just see like a swirling vortex of all of the like excess food that didn't get eaten, or like fish waste, or just like dead stuff that all ends up being just like in a, like a heap somewhere. And so usually for like aquarium maintenance, what you do is you take your siphon hose, you drop it right in there, and you just suck all that stuff
siphon out. It right out.
Yeah, and you put it into a bucket and you dump it down the drain and you fill it back up with fresh salt water and
right.
Boom, bam, fresh boom, aquarium. Bam.
Nice.
So out in the ocean, everybody's aware of the fact that these tidal currents also exist. This is like why certain areas of the world have certain climates and stuff, because like all the different, you know, EACs, like the Eastern Australian Current,
right,
bring like warm water to some places and cold water to other places. And then the amount of water you have nearby to your region impacts the kind of weather that you have and blah, blah, blah. Those are things. But then there's invariably on our globe dead spots, and the dead spots are where all the trash that make it out into the ocean end up just sort of like congealing. And I think that when people refer to like the trash island, they think that there is like a literal physical structure of trash out in the ocean. And that's what I always thought myself as well.
Yeah.
And so I was like, man, it would be so interesting if the day ever came where we were sending like harvesters to go and like harvest plastics from Trash Island.
Yeah.
Or alternatively, if it became its own bizarro, like Galapagos Islands type situation, and like someone dropped an iguana on one and it turned into like a
literal trash island.
Like a 2 liter bottle, you know. Yeah, inhabiting ecosystem. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Just some kind of weird adaptations that happen because of the trash. But so I was researching this the other day because I was like, I want to see what trash planet or trash island trash planet looks like. And what I stumbled across was like marine biologists out in the ocean who are doing ocean cleanup, and they were like, we wish it was an island because then we could just send heavy machinery and scoop it up and clean it up. But it's not. It is just like a major area, like a huge water mass, which is my version of land mass, except it's water.
Right.
Where trash is just sort of like spread out, you know, like a few feet apart from each other.
Yeah.
So it's not like a huge heap of trash that has come together. It is just trash that happens to be in a big physical area, and they have to go out with these like huge nets and do like big scoopages,
right,
and dispense it. I don't know how I got here or why I got here.
Trash Island.
Trash Island.
Yeah. Yeah. What's in the dump? Play school toys.
Yeah. Maybe there's a play school slide out there.
Probably.
Yeah. Just chilling.
Someone's probably thrown that off a boat at some point.
It seems likely.
Yeah.
Or maybe like a wave came up and just like took it away from someone's backyard, never to be seen again.
Right. That would be a weirdly situated backyard.
Yeah, it would be a weirdly situated.
Right up to the beach.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where we keep our slides.
Yeah. Keep the slides, man. Anyway. All right. But anyway, you got 6 bushel of banana.
Yeah. So I got 6 bushel of banana, which brought about my return to social media. Sort of. But yeah, so I sent it in this degraded image to our office Slack. They all thought it was hilarious and suggested I posted it to Reddit. So I did. And I went to r/banana.
Of course.
Which exists and has 13,000 members.
I think everything exists on Reddit.
Yeah, well, you know what? That delighted me.
Yeah.
I was like, what? There is r/banana and it has 13,000 people? Like, yes.
Excellent.
And I'm like looking at like the most recent like top upvoted post and I was like, it's like just two or it's like someone who posted just like, here's just like 2 regular bananas. And it had like 32 upvotes and I was like, oh, I can beat that.
Oh, I'm going to beat that.
I was like, look at this.
Look at this. 36 regular bananas.
I have 36 regular bananas.
I'm 18 times as good as this post.
Right. So I have a post that is basically like, banana party, please join. And I put #BYOB, which would be bring your own banana.
Bring your own banana.
But then it was also #JustKidding, I have plenty. And I think at present it has like 1,500 views. And I was like, I am famous.
I am so good at Reddit.
I was like, I love this so much. Like, I don't know if it's because I haven't had the rush of having posted anything to the internet in 2.5 years.
I am famous.
I was like, this is the coolest thing ever.
Yeah. You have a whole YouTube career, 2 successful podcasts, but this post is what people are going to know you for.
I have 8 comments, people just are gonna so be- you know.
You that guy from r/banana?
I am that guy from r/banana. I'm that guy.
You're going to have the banana party.
I'm hosting a banana party. Oh, man.
You have 8 comments. What do they say?
Someone said, can I bring a friend? Will there be enough bananas?
Oh, there will be enough bananas. There are
enough bananas.
Yeah.
What else did people say? Somebody said expecto potassium, which I thought was truly clever.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Worlds colliding right there.
I know. I was like, man, this is turning out this so is good.
Did they know you're like a Harry Potter person?
They maybe did. Yeah. But either way.
What's your handle on Reddit?
Buzzy Ben?
Buzzy Ben? Yeah, they're like, oh, we know this guy.
Buzzy B. Carlin, maybe? Buzzy Yeah, I don't even know what my own handle is, okay. But, you know, it's something like that. But anyway, yeah, I mean, it was just like, you know, the peak of my week, if I'm being completely honest with you.
My week peak.
I was really proud of it. I was like, this is so funny and hilarious and perfect and... Bam.
I'm going to go check it out right now.
I'm a banana fluencer.
Let's see if you're still the top post on r/banana in real time.
Oh, gosh. It's going to hurt me if I'm not.
What if someone left a negative comment on there, Ben?
You don't think they would have.
Not on r/banana. Hold on. They would never.
They might.
All right. r/banana. Well. Now I'm not even finding banana.
Can you not find it?
Maybe I got to just... Oh, here we go. Oh, no, I had it.
Oops.
It was there. Okay. 12,000 members. Oh, there's your... it is so pixelated. Why is it like that?
I have no idea.
Banana at my house. #BYOB. #JK. I have plenty. They thought I meant 6 pounds when I meant 6 bananas. It has 39 upvotes and 9 comments. I'll upvote you right there. Of course, right there. Man, everyone go upvote this and make sure Ben remains the most... upvoted post on r/bananas on Reddit.
I want to be the banana king of Reddit. That is my new...
The banana king of Reddit?
The banana king of Reddit. There you
go. New goal.
New goal, yeah.
You can just sort of like take over. You can become like a moderator on this subreddit.
How much do you think I can lean into banana-based content?
I mean, I think there's more in there than you think.
You think so?
I think so.
You think like a whole podcast about nothing but bananas?
I mean, you could have bananas. You could talk about like plantains. You could talk about like slapstick comedy and slipping on bananas. You could talk about minions and their like weird love relationship with bananas.
Maybe we could have
you could talk about that song where things are B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Hey, that song is mighty useful because banana is a hard word to spell.
It is a hard word to spell, and I think about it every time I spell the word bananas.
Same here. I always think about the Dimitri Martin bit where he's like, Bana, keep going. Bananana. Dang it.
Yeah, too far.
And I'm like, that's just so perfect.
It's exactly what it's like. I know. That joke didn't age well after that song came out. I like how there's also a single apple on a plate behind your bananas.
Well, that's where I keep my apple.
That's my apple plate.
That's my apple plate.
Yeah. They brought me 6 bushels of bananas and 1 apple.
And 1 apple.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know what? There you go. You are indeed the current most upvoted thing on banana Reddit.
I think what you mean is the banana king of Reddit.
The banana king of Reddit. Yes. There you go. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you.
Sire. Thank you.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Yo, when we first started making content online, I remember the very first time somebody left a comment asking where they could buy our merch. It was a wild moment, almost like a rite of passage. I was on cloud 9 until I realized I had to find a way to make that possible, and that's where Shopify steps in. Shopify made it so easy to take that comment to heart and put our first t-shirts online available for, you know, that one person that wanted it. Now, years later, we rely on Shopify every day and have a whole lineup of products from coffee to candles and, of course, t-shirts. And while we always love the comments letting us know what y'all want, Shopify makes it easy to know what y'all are actually loving. So upgrade your business and get the same checkout that we use with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/poppop.
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year, too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit bartesian.com/cocktail. That's bartesian.com/cocktail.
Anyway, anything you want to talk about today?
Oh, man. So over the past weekend, I suppose, the family went on a trip.
Yeah, we did indeed.
When
yeah,
I say the family, I mean the greater Carlin family of, you know, me and Beth and the kids and you and Allison, the kid, and Tyler and Emily and the kids and mom and her kids.
Which is us.
Which is us, me and you and Tyler.
Mom and her kids.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. It's like, it really is one of those things where we have reached a stage where when our family travels together, it's too many people.
It's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot of people showing up at a single place.
Yeah.
And, you know, we went to the Great Wolf Lodge in Williamsburg.
Yeah. Now yes. this was an experience, and
it was
like,
an experience
because like I don't want to go too far as to say that we're Disney people.
Yeah.
But we are.
We are Disney people.
We are Disney people.
We are big time Disney people.
And it's like we've been to Disney like a lot.
A lot.
And it's one of those things that has definitely. Oh man, I'm saying it's one of those things too many times.
That's
okay. I gotta be really cautious about it.
No.
If anybody's playing a drinking game,
it's okay to have a catchphrase.
I know. It's my catchphrase. I'm going to have a t-shirt that says it's one of those things.
Yeah. One of the podcasts I listen to, they constantly say things have aged like fine wine.
Oh, nice.
And then they've been called out for saying it so many times, and now they always say it almost as like as a joke, and I'm like, it's okay that you say it all the time, like it doesn't bother me,
right you know? I've never like, I'm not chuffed
I'm not chuffed at all. Or maybe isn't chuffed a good thing?
I'm completely chuffed with
I'm so chuffed.
Yeah.
I'm whelmed, you know?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I'm exactly right.
I'm exactly right. You could just keep saying it. But so anyway, yeah, the great Disney people.
Yeah, we're Disney people. So I feel like there's a bar that has been set that I spent the whole weekend trying my darndest to not compare it to.
Yeah.
And I failed at that.
Well, that I think is because, Ben, that one of the things about going to Disney, and probably the largest hurdle, is that it's expensive.
It is, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Like it, you know, especially if you have to fly there. And then usually if you're going to like Disney World anyway, there's, you know, the four big theme parks.
Right.
And you normally, like, you know, if you're doing it all, you want to try and do it all. You want to go to all four.
Right.
And usually you need like at least a day per park. Maybe you could like cut two of them in half or something if you were trying to like be really efficient about it.
Sure.
But either way, you're probably staying, you know, on location. Which means you're, you know, spending money at the park, and then the tickets to get in are expensive, plus like flights and stuff like that. So just getting there and having accommodations can already be kind of pricey.
Right.
And then, of course, once you're in the parks, you got to eat food. And probably if you've invested that much to get there, you probably want some souvenirs, or you probably brought kids and there's gift shops everywhere.
Right.
And, you know, tasty treats and stuff. So you're probably going to, and it's like all of that is part of the experience too. So it's like, it can be, that is a thing. It is expensive. So if you're going somewhere like the Great Wolf Lodge, which if you've never heard of, is basically its main attraction is that it is a big indoor water park.
Yeah,
right?
which I think, you know, had pretty significant appeal to us as being parents to young children, and we're also like in the cooler time of the year, so it's, yeah, like we're not able to do like our boat stuff,
yeah,
anymore. So it's like, okay, good way to go and like let the kids play in water.
Yes. Yes, so it's good for that. But then built into it as well is a variety of other kind of like family-based or kid-based activities that you could do. And those include like laser tag and a really big arcade. And there was like a mini bowling alley. There was this activity called Magic Quest where you have they're kind of like wands.
Yeah.
Look,
I mean, it's actually kind of like, I was really curious about it because it almost made me wonder whether or not like Wizarding World or Universal had like gotten a patent on like thinner wands, because I would describe the wands that they sold for Magic Quest to be more comparable to like a branch.
Yeah, they, you know, were almost like branches.
Then like a stick.
Yeah,
they were beefy boys.
They were thick. They were not like Harry Potter style wands, but they were definitely wands.
They were definitely wands.
Yeah. So there was the Magic Quest, and that was like, you know, it's like they had these little computer, or like they would call them portals, and you would walk up to it and you'd cast your wand at it, and it would bring up your little menu and it would say, here's your quest. And then like all the quests were kind of the same. They were like, find these five objects around the resort.
Right.
And basically there was like four main hallways, like two hallways on floor three, two hallways on floor four. And that's where all of the items were. And they were all kind of like lightly themed to be different areas. And they each probably had like 12 different objects in them. And so then typically each quest would involve you going to all four areas and, sure, finding the next of your objects. But in the meantime, even if you weren't doing the quest, if you just walk past anything, you could pretty much cast your wand at it and it would do something, like,
right,
like light up or tell you a joke or something like that. So, and they worked really well. I was super duper skeptical when I got to watch the videos about them, that like you cast it and it wouldn't work, or, you know, like it would be like a finicky system, but I would say it worked really well. So that was like another thing you could do. And I think that was the majority of the activities.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there was like a real big gift shop as well. There was a Build-A-Bear. There was a Build-A-Bear that's part of
the park
as well.
The Build-A-Bear, if I were to describe it, like, because a lot of times Build-A-Bears take up like entire like corners of like shopping malls.
Yeah.
I feel like this Build-A-Bear could have fit in the room that we're sitting in right now. It was like,
with room to spare.
With room to spare. There, yeah, was like one machine that was like turnstiling all like the cotton bits.
All the fluff.
And then like a few bins of like pelts that you could fill.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Know. And all of them, all the bears you could build then were like based on the Great Wolf Lodge's like in-house cast of characters, kind of like Chuck E. Cheese, where there's like that, like there's the cast of Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
they're just sort of there. Except they're probably like, even like Chuck E. Cheese, probably way more well-known characters than these guys.
Although, my daughter Addie was obsessed with, there was a character called Wiley Wolf that she kept referring to as Red Fox. And she was like, there was a whole day where she was like, I want to see Red Fox. And I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And we got back to our room that night, and on her wall is a picture of Wiley Wolf, who is a wolf, obviously, but she was thinking it was a fox, wearing a bright red t-shirt. She's like, I want to meet Red Fox. And we're like, all day, that's what you meant.
Oh,
it was very cute.
That is very cute. So all that to say, that's kind of like what's there. That's the offering. And you would, like, versus like going on a giant trip to Orlando and spending 4 days in four different amusement parks with like on-site accommodations, you would expect this to be like a lot cheaper, especially for people who are within 2 hours of driving distance.
Right.
Yeah. And so it's a lodge. So you do stay. It's all like just one giant building.
Right. Yeah. Right. So you don't have to go anywhere.
You don't have to go anywhere. Which is nice. Yeah. It's very self-contained. But I would say that, like, if you were just looking, it reminded me a lot of flying on Allegiant Air.
Okay.
You know, like, yeah, because the sticker, like the price on the sticker, like you, like we say it all the time because we have Allegiant here in Roanoke, at least a few flights. And there's one that flies from Roanoke to Orlando, and you can get like a ticket there for like, I don't know what, $70?
Yeah, something. So, yeah, $60-$70.
Right, $60-$70. Very cheap plane ticket to get halfway down the country and to get to Orlando, which we take advantage of a lot because we go to Disney.
Yep.
You know, and but when it always sounds so good, you're like, oh, the flights won't even be that bad. But then you get the tickets and you got to like every part past the purchasing of the tickets will nickel and dime you up a little bit more and a little bit more until it is like, it's really not that much cheaper.
Right.
Like, it's like 80 to start, but it's because you're going to have to like add on for your carry-on bag and add on for your check bag. And if you want to select a seat at all, that's going to cost money.
Right.
And it's like they just ease you up. And I would say the Great Wolf Lodge reminded me tremendously of that experience where, like, honestly, I don't think it was cheaper than Disney.
Yeah, you know? It was kind of remarkable to me. Like,
yeah.
I know that, like, you know, we got there the first night, you know, me and I went down to the, you know, like Alice was putting Addie to bed. And she was like, go grab us, like, you know, some drinks. So we can like sit in the room, you know, cause it's like 7:45 or whatever. And we're just gonna be like in the room for the rest of the night. So it was like, you know, yeah, go grab. So I went and grabbed her, like me and her each, like two drinks. And I got to the checkout counter and I got Addie a chocolate milk and it was $49.
What?
And I was like, what the heck?
Are you kidding?
No.
Dude.
Yeah. I was like, what? And these are like 12-ounce cans. Like, not
what?
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the experience. That was the experience. And so it's like at that rate, like, I'd rather just go to Disney.
Well, yes, you know? Yeah, yeah. And I think, like, you know, certain aspects of it were worse than others. So, like, I think maybe you had a similar experience as well. But, like, the other one that we had happen was the following morning, we all went down to breakfast, like, we did our thing or whatever, and then we were on our way back, and we had to walk past the arcade in order to get back to our room. And the arcade is basically like a well-lit Chuck E. Cheese. And, you know, so there's like all sorts of flashing lights and games and all sorts of stuff you can do. And we had not bought like one of the cards you could use to go and like tap in and do any of the various, like, you know, arcade games.
Right.
Like, we hadn't purchased one in advance, but you could purchase in the room, like while you were there. And so me and Allie were like, okay, well, we need to go like put our clothing on and like, you know, use the restroom and like stuff like that, like just to get ready for the parks. So like, why don't like one of us stay here with Addie while the other person goes back, get those things taken care of, and then that person can come back and then we'll like swap out or whatever. So Alice goes first. I go over to the counter. I spend $25 to like load a card and I'm like, okay, this will be fine. Like, you know, Addie is like so small, like we're not going to play that many games, like no big deal, whatever, you know, that way we can like actually like do some stuff. Cause once we were in there, she like really wanted to. And I'm like, 100%. Like, we're here.
Right.
Let's do it. And so, you know, like, we go and we, like, sit in this, like, car that, like, rocks back and forth, lights up, whatever, makes a lot of noises, and it was fun. And then at that point in time, Alice comes back, and I was like, hey, I went ahead and I bought a car. It's got $25 on it. Like, you know, just, like, whatever. Have fun with Addie. And so I go to the room, and I'm gone for, like, you know, however long it takes to go to the bathroom and change into a bathing suit. It's, like, 7 minutes. And I came back, and the card was empty.
Right.
And I was like, what happened?
Yeah.
Like, how did it get emptied?
Yeah.
And I was like, I played like 4 games. And I was like, what? Like, that's so crazy. It was so expensive.
I mean, yeah. The arcade was, I think, let me make sure. I mean, it was an absolute scam, firstly. And it was high and away the loudest and most blatant form of the nickel and diming that the park is pulling on you.
Yeah.
And it was like, everything else was also doing this, but the arcade was just the most blatant about it.
Sure.
And so let me tell you something. If you go to the Great Wolf Lodge, I will also say this though, like, at the end of the day, like, we had a fun weekend and the kids will have nothing but good memories about going.
Right.
And like, the water park was fun. The things we did were fun, but were they like worth the money we paid? I don't think so.
And that's where I kept comparing it to Disney, and I'll let you tell your arcade story.
Yeah.
But like the other big thing I think we ran into that I think was kind of interesting is like, you know, when you like sometimes there's the weird Disney experience, or if you've never been before, let me describe it for you. The people there are great. Like,
yeah.
The people that work there, like, it's at least as far as it seems from someone who's been, is that they seem to be really enjoying their time. They're all very upbeat. They're all very friendly. Like, you know, there's a certain kind of like Disney designed customer service that I think like probably prepares anybody who wants to be in hospitality very well for any other career in hospitality.
Yeah.
Because you're like well equipped to like to interact with people and the kind of like language and stuff to use, I guess. And to the point where sometimes like when you leave, you like get back to the airport and you're like, it's a little jarring.
It is.
Because,
yeah.
Because like, you know, not everybody is, you know, attempting to give you a magical experience. They're just trying to get through their day, checking your luggage or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, you kind of be like, oh yeah, okay, back to reality. Like kind of like recalibrate just a little bit.
Right. And it's like, not only are you going from Disney, like normally you're leaving Disney and going to the airport, which almost like famously has just sort of like agitated employees.
Those people deal with a lot.
They deal with a lot because almost everyone they have to deal with is upset because they're stressed out about traveling. And if they're there talking to you, it's because they've had a problem while traveling.
Exactly.
And that problem is very frustrating and probably might be costing them money, might be making them late for their flight. You know, they might, you know, it makes sense why they'd be kind of upset.
Yeah.
But I will say that most TSA agents and airport employees, I would say, still liked their job a lot more than the employees of the Great Wolf Lodge, who all seemed like it felt like they must be being raked across the coals as much as the customers.
The thing that shocked me the most, I think, was like we walked out of breakfast one morning to the pleasant surprise of seeing our entire family doing the sunrise yoga experience in the lobby.
Yoga is a generous word for it, but yes.
But I mean, so, you know, it was cool because like we walked out and I was like, oh, I wonder where everybody is. And I was like, they're right there.
Yeah.
You know, like all of you guys were there, like kids and everybody, like on these like little yoga mats and stuff. And it was like, okay, how cool is that? And the person who was running the like yoga experience was up on stage, you know, with a microphone, and they were like reading the like each of the steps off of a clipboard while holding the microphone and not performing any of the like movements.
The movements. Oh my gosh. The yoga. So it's like a daily thing. They do it every single day. Like it is the same show every day. And it is definitely like kid centered,
right?
As like a thing, like come get up, get moving, whatever. And you know, it only lasts like 10 minutes or so. It's right. Very like short lived, and they don't do anything like complicated. You're not doing like, you know, big movements into each other or anything. There's just like very basic things. You'd be like stand in like warrior two, which is like a surfboard pose, or like stand as a tree, or put your arms above your head, you know, like there is very little stretching or like physical movement to be done. But like, yeah, the girl on stage is like who's leading the yoga, like is like, she's holding a microphone and just reading the story from her clipboard and like sort of doing the poses. And I'm like, you must do this. Like, how hard would it be to memorize this little story?
I think the thing that kind of struck me about it, because it's not to say like, you know, like my knee-jerk reaction, one of the first things I witnessed while I was there was a similar thing during like their nighttime like dance party routine or whatever. And I was like, I was watching somebody who was like reading, you know, the plot for the thing off of the screen. I was like, you know, I could see a world where somebody has to like leave early, you know, and it's like, oh shoot, I don't normally do this. Like, I don't exactly know which, I don't know how this is supposed to go. I can certainly fill in. I don't mind like reading off, you know, the script.
Yeah, right.
But then I think what happened as the weekend went on was it seemed like that was just sort of, I thought I was watching an anomaly happen. And, but then I think as the weekend went on, it was like kind of each show seemed to sort of like have this particular way of doing it.
Right.
Like it wasn't somebody who had like been trained to do the dance party or to do the yoga or to, you know, do the arts and crafts or whatever.
Right.
It was like each thing was just sort of like, you know, I don't know, like reading off a list.
It was like they applied for a job there and then they got there and they're like, you'll be doing this. And they're like, I don't want to do that. And they'd be like, don't, well, that's what you're doing. And don't worry, you don't need to have any energy or enthusiasm about it. Here's a clipboard. Just it has pictures of the shape of the movement and a story. And the story is just literally about do stuff at the lodge.
Yeah.
And so just don't worry about interacting with the kids or looking happy or being energetic in any way. Just
we're not exactly selling the Great Wolf Lodge, are we?
Well, I'm not exactly. I mean, it was just like so disappointing because it felt so close to being, it feels like it's very close to being really good.
I like, would agree with you. Yeah. I feel like we've made it sound rough, but I do think you're right. Like, I think like somebody who's in there being excited about it would probably pay massive dividends.
Like, yeah, like the kids loved it. It's just like, I don't even think it would be that bad if it wasn't so much money.
You know, sure.
That is the part that's bothering me. Like if it was like, you know, significantly cheaper, I would have been like, well, yeah, this is what we paid for.
Sure.
You know, but at the other end, it was like, this was like at every single turn, there's another upcharge or another gotcha thing. Like you're right. Like the arcade, like, so we got when we're booking the whole trip, we got what was called like the wolf passes. And it's like, you know, it gives you a bunch of like, I don't know, I'm going to put air quotes around like freebies or discounts on stuff that you can do there.
It's basically like if you agree in advance to do all the activities, we'll give you a discount.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically. So like it included in the Wolf Pass was like, you got to go to Build-A-Bear and get a stuffed animal, like right. Just pick one out. But the flip side, like, but then you get there and you get the stuffed animal, but if you want any of the accessories or clothes or anything, those will still cost you money.
Right.
So it's like we went in there and of course got like our free animal, but still ended up spending like $50 on very crummy accessories.
Sure.
You know, but it's like you want them to have fun and like pick it out and do a thing. And then like the arcade, you're right. Like on what comes with the Wolf Pass was like 40 like swipes at the arcade or something. And I was like, 40 swipes, that's pretty good.
Yeah, like,
you know,
that reminds me of like when we were kids and you would go to Chuck E. Cheese or whatever and you put a $5 bill in the token machine and it would spit out 20 tokens and you put them in your little paper cup and it was like you were rich.
Yeah. You know, I remember that we used to go to this place down at Smith Mountain Lake called
Moosey's,
which had really good nachos. I wouldn't go there anymore. It's really same problem, really expensive, not good food, but but it was really fun when we were kids and you would go down because it was like this whole like Lakeside Plaza area. And beneath Moosey's was this arcade and, you know, we would go and mom and dad would give us each $5 and you go get your tokens from the machine and you could play the games for like an hour.
Right.
You know, you could make all of those tokens go for a long time and you'd get your tickets and then you'd go buy your, you know, crummy little knickknack toys or whatever.
Right. Well, we're sounding awfully back in my day.
But like, I mean, yes, but...
but explain how 40 swipes isn't but 40
so,
plays.
Yes, yes. So, because I'm reading like 40 swipes and I was like, man, that's going to be good because I'm looking at the pictures of the arcade online and I'm like, they've got some pretty like cool looking big games and stuff. Yeah. Like, it's well lit. It felt cleaner in the arcade than it did everywhere else.
Yeah.
But, and so we get there and like Luke is so excited, like... Tyler and Olivia were already in there and he saw Olivia in there and like Olivia was about to have to leave and he was like, oh, I really want to go and play with Olivia in the arcade. Like, I don't, you know, if she leaves, it's going to be sad. And I'm like, well, okay, you know, yeah.
Let's go play.
Yeah. Let's go play. That's fine with me. If you want to, you know, spend time with your cousins who, you know, you don't get to see that often.
Right.
Like, let's go. And, you know, I go to get my little card from the guy, show him the wolf passes. And he's like, do you want to like... add extra on there, like if you can like you can get like 60 more swipes for like $15 or something. And I was like, you know, I was like, oh, do I have to decide that like before you give me the card, or can I come back and just add that later, like, you know, if we go play and decide we want to get more? He's like, no, I have to decide right now. And I was like, all right.
Sure.
I was like, you know, fine. Because then I'm like, well, if I add 60, then all the kids will have 100 swipes,
right?
And I'm like, we could probably spend, honestly, like, the rest of the afternoon in here on 100 swipes, you know?
Unlimited play, effectively.
Basically unlimited play. And, like, I'm thinking back to, like, you know, yeah, again, like, when I'm a kid, and I'm like, man, I often had about 20 to 25 tokens to spend at a place like this. And I'm like, and, you know, I always wish I had just, you know, a whole, if I had 100 tokens as a kid, huh. I mean, literally, my cup would be full. It would be overflowing. I would have been, it would have been like the best. I'd be like, thank mom, thank God. Yes, yes.
I'm going to beat Ninja Turtles this time.
Exactly. You know, yeah. Like you could just go do you know, you'd have such free reign, such like the weight would be lifted off of like the burden of making sure you use each token so effectively.
That was always my thing too, because like, you know, you would go to the arcade and a huge draw of the arcade is getting the tickets, then yeah, being able to cash in the tickets for the prizes.
Right.
But then a lot of the games that like are like, you know, like playing like a Ninja Turtles or Power Rangers or X-Men or something, like those are games that always looked really fun, but they were non-ticket yielding. So I was like, well, I don't want to waste a token on a non-ticket yielding game because like, you know, then it's going to lower my total haul.
Right. But then there was like there would be always those lottery kind of games where it's like, put the game in, stop the light and win the jackpot or whatever.
Right.
It was like that token would be gone in like 3 seconds, but maybe you get a lot of tickets.
I know. Yeah.
You know,
that
but
one
like,
got me.
Yeah, I know. And like, ugh, there's like a whole Mark Rober video slamming that particular machine.
How it's like designed to like, cause that was the thing. Like I would always hit it and I would always get the 10 number, like right next to the jackpot. And I was like,
yeah,
I am so good. I'm so close. And I feel like what was happening was I was just hitting the jackpot and it wasn't working.
Yes, that's exactly it's literally what was happening.
Yeah.
Like it's like claw machines where it's like the claw machine only actually grabs every like 10th go. So not only do you have to have it be really grabbing, but then also have it lined up appropriately to grab something.
Right.
So it's like not only do you have to hit the jackpot, but it has to be on a like open slot.
Right.
So it's complete. Don't play those games. They're terrible.
Maybe in heaven there's a crane game that just like clamps every single time and you just get the joy of like winning.
Oh. I mean, that'd be amazing.
Can you imagine?
Luke, when he walks past a crane game, he always wants to play it so bad. And like, there have been times where he's played. I hate crane games.
Okay.
I hate them because they are such scams. It is so hard to win and it's so disappointing. And like, you know, it's like, it's one, I feel like you have to learn those lessons where it's like, okay, we spent $1 and then they won't win. It'll be like, can I play again? And it's like, no.
Right.
Like,
right.
No,
yeah.
we're not going to play again. Like, I only had $1, you know, that's just how it goes.
Right.
But so like, anyway, I end up going for it. Cause I'm like, yes, let me be the dad who gave his kids 100 swipes at the arcade. Like,
sure. Yeah.
I want to give that to you because I always wanted it and now we're here and it'll be so fun and you'll have a blast.
Right.
Right. And we get in there and, you know, the kids like spread out and they start playing the games and I'm kind of like with Nick and he goes over to the Space Invaders, like this giant Space Invaders game, which is really cool and like very, like it's very fun to play. But he's playing it and I'm watching him do the thing. And of course he's not like great at it or anything because he's only 4.
Sure.
And so he like loses fairly quickly and it flashes up on the screen that like, you got 55 tickets. And I was like, 55? Like, he was only playing for like 30 seconds. Like, good job, Nick. You know, fantastic. I was like, boy, we found the secret right away. We're going to play this game 90 more times and you're going to have 2 million tickets, you know?
Right, right. Like, I've had Here We Come.
Like, let's go. We're going to get the big one. And he swipes at the end. And I look down at the little swiper machine and it says it costs to play this game. It costs 11 swipes to play it. And I was like, wait, what? 11? 11? What do you mean? A swipe is a swipe. Like, 11? One swipe isn't 11 swipes.
Right. One swipe is one swipe.
One swipe is one swipe. What are you talking about here? And like, again, if you want to go back to like tokens, sometimes a machine would be like 25 cents. Sometimes one would be 50 cents.
Right.
You know, whether it was like a really long game or maybe if you had like a better prize or a higher ticket yield or something. But like, this was 11, and I'm like, okay, maybe the 55 tickets made more sense now because this is clearly a super high ticket yield game, but like maybe you go through your tokens really fast.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, let's just, you know, he played it a few more times and he did get a bunch of tickets, but then I was like, I could tell, like, you know, because he played it five times and I'm like, well, you're like halfway done.
That's 55.
That's 55
swipes.
Swipes, you know? You've only got like 45 left. We've been here for 10 minutes.
Right.
Like, what's going on? I'm like, okay, we got to find a different machine that's going to be less swipes or whatever. But they're all this way.
Yeah.
Like, I found like the lowest ones were like 9 swipes, you know? And that's what like, and like, I'm learning this in like real time with like Nick at the Space Invader game. And meanwhile, Beth is following Luke around and Luke doesn't, you know, we don't know how the swipes work right out of the gate or anything. And he sees like the claw machines and like the, you know, cut the rope thing or whatever.
Yeah, those are always so tempting.
They're so tempting. They're so tempting. And I hate them.
I know.
Because like you'd be like, ugh, they're so stupid. But like, you know, so there's this giant cut the rope game where the whole thing just has like, it's got like a tiny little scissors and you hold a button down and the scissors moves to the right the entire time you're holding it. And if you stop it, it like moves forward and will maybe cut a rope. And if you cut the rope, you get this like super giant Wumbo stuffed plushy Mario or whatever. And it's, I mean, it looks huge. It's very like, come play me.
Right.
Luke sees it and he's like, I want to try it. So, you know, he goes over there, he swipes his card, you know, and then he doesn't know how the game works. There's just a big button. He hits the button, like just like taps it. The machine moves 1 inch over. Doesn't hit the rope, obviously.
Oh,
and that's
it.
It's just gone. And it's like, that was 15 swipes. And you're like, what?
Right, right.
Like, it was such a scam. And I was so mad at the whole place for the way their ticket thing worked.
It was verging on like actual highway robbery.
I mean, it was so predatory down to the idea, like even telling you that you got 40 swipes. 40 swipes, if everything costs more than 10, that's 3 games.
Right.
You know, it's such BS. And then like when you get up there, they're like, they upcharge you and it's like, you have to decide now before you go in there.
Right.
You know? And it's like, oh, if I had realized, I wouldn't have done it.
Right.
You know, like it was so annoying. And then, like because Luke did the crane games, you know, he didn't get a ton of tickets. He wasn't doing ticket games because he wanted to do the prize games.
Right.
But, so then we get back out there and, you know, Nick, by complete happenstance, by just choosing random games that look fun, had like 650 tickets. He did, you know, I guess pretty good. And Luke has like 100, and now he's, you know, losing his mind that Nick, his little brother, has 6 times the currency to go spend.
Right.
Which, to be fair, still isn't getting you very much. It's just like slightly bigger, terrible plastic knickknacks.
Right.
But, you know, Nick gets to go pick 6 things and he gets to go pick 1 thing. And that's his own kind of meltdown. It feels like not only are you robbed of money, but you're robbed it feels like they robbed your child of the experience. And that is really what's even worse, because like Luke saw the arcade and he wanted to go play with his cousin and he was so excited to go do it. And it went south so fast.
Right.
And it was like, oh, and it's like, and it should be fun. And it just wasn't. It was not designed to be fun. It's designed to look fun, to lure you in and like grab it away from you.
Right.
And it's like, why can't it be both? You know, like it's like if I don't even mind paying you the money if I get the fun.
Right.
You know, like, and it's like, if you go to like Chuck E. Cheese now, they've completely fixed this entire problem.
Right.
Because you're not paying for like tokens even anymore. You're paying for the amount of time you're there.
Yeah.
And it's like, they, when you go in there, it's like, yeah, I want 2 hours worth of time. And they just hand you a card and you can swipe it as many times as you want for as long as you're there.
Right.
And you can, if you get in 300 games in that time, good for you. You did it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's reminded me, and I'm sure I've brought it up before, but it's like that just noticeable difference, like concept where, you know, the example I always give is like, you know, if once upon a time they had 40 M&Ms in a bag and some executive somewhere decides like, hey, our margins need to be better. What can we do? It's like, well, we could probably cut it down to 37 without people really noticing that we've changed the contents of the bag at all. And we just charge the same amount. And now, you know, every so many bags, we basically are just producing a free bag, which then, you know, will increase margins. And so that is the effective, you know, example of just noticeable difference. So if you think about like a typical like coin based game that you might go play, like an arcade game or whatever, it's like you might think like, okay, maybe 25 cents to 50 cents would be like the appropriate amount to go and like have this experience. I feel like that, like, you know, it's like there's a world where like, okay, we're kind of in like a premium place, we're kind of in like a premium environment, like, you know, this is, everything has sort of like been elevated in some capacity, like maybe it goes up to like $1 per play. But I mean, I don't know what the exact conversions are, but it seemed like this was more like to play like a single arcade game was like hitting like $3 to $3.50, maybe
even more.
Yeah,
maybe like $6 to $7. I don't know.
Yeah,
it was very high, and like some of the games, they're still over in like 10 seconds.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yep. And I mean, that goes back to my example where like, you know, I came back and I was like, oh, we ran out of swipes. And I was like, that was $25. And she was like, what? Like,
yeah,
you know, it was like one of those things where I think like she just sort of thought like I just sort of, you know, had done just enough because we were not intending to do the arcade. We were just trying to kill enough time for us to change clothes, you know, and give Addie something to do in the meantime.
Yeah.
And what ended up happening was, you know, obviously it was just like, whoop. I mean, it literally reminded me of when me and Alice went to Las Vegas a couple years ago. We put a $20 bill into a slot machine, and Alice did not know that the button she was pressing was the max bet button. So we put $20 in, she pressed max bet one time, and the $20 was just gone.
Right.
We had one spin of the slot machine. It was like, well, we're not gamblers, apparently.
Right. But like, the thing is, that's Vegas.
That is
Vegas. You're adults, and Vegas is a gambling place.
Right.
And that's what you do. And you know it's predatory. You know casinos are like that.
Right.
Like, this is an arcade for kids, and it is preying on parents' wallets, and that's all. It is not even providing, like, because if you paid for 100 swipes and you got to go play 100 games, that's great.
Right.
Like, that's fun. Like, and it doesn't hurt them anymore to do that. They got the same amount of money.
Right.
Like, they are not hurt in any way by letting the kids play more games. Like, they, because I don't understand the logic behind it.
No, you know? The thing is that you're completely right. Like, your anger is completely justified. Like, I think, you know, we have like the joke here on the channel where it's like, you know, strong opinions about weak things. I feel like this is like a strong opinion about like a just justified thing.
It is. And I mean, this and that, so that's like the most blatant, absolute most blatant version of it. But like, so we talked about the wands, like the magic quest or whatever. And it's like, part of the wolf pass is like, you get a free wand for the magic quest. And it's like, oh, that's good. Because if you go look at the wands, they'll cost like $15. It was like, okay, that feels like a pretty good deal.
Right.
But you go in there and actually it's only they have like, you know, seven kinds of wands you can get. They all do the exact same thing.
Right.
But like only this one, the most basic looking, it looks like just a basic plastic piece of wood.
Right.
That one's free. The rest of them, these will actually still cost $3, and that one will still cost like $7.
Right.
And it's like, oh, I see. And then it's like, then on the back of them, you can put these little toppers on them, which don't do anything. They're just decoration.
Just
and like
aesthetic.
Those all still cost $15. You don't get any of that for free.
Yeah.
But of course, the kids are in there and like, oh, I want the backer. I want this. I want that. And you're like for $3, I'm like, sure, you can get whichever one you want. That's right. Fine.
Yeah.
But it's like, still, it's the illusion. It's like, we bought this Wolf Pass. This should get you free stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, you get down there and they're like, well, you can get like the crappy one for free. Sure. And it's like that feels bad, because it's like, I walked in there expecting to get free wands, and I walked out of there having spent $9 on wands.
Yeah, you're right. Like, I feel like the issue is, it's almost like, because like, whenever we go to these kinds of experiences, like, we go into it having pre-budgeted for like the inevitable, like, they want to buy a toy in the gift shop, or, you know, we want to go and get like a fun like snack or treat or like whatever. It's like, I'm not trying to like suggest on any level that we're not like ever anticipating these additional expenses, but it did feel a little bit like they were like strong arming you into like putting you in the position to where you had to be the bad guy to your child after they already saw the fun thing that they could have. And
oh yeah,
you know, and then it was sort of like, well, now I have to tell, now I either have to pay your exorbitant fee or tell them no, but we're supposed to be here on like a fun vacation.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Exactly. And it, like, that sort of stuff would blow up. So like, what else was there? So it's like another thing that was on the Wolf Pass was that you got like a free leather engraved item, and they had like magnets and bracelets and keychains or something.
Okay.
And it's like, oh, you know, if you want to do that, that's great. But in order to do that, you have to go to the gift shop to go do it. And of course, that means you have to bring the kids to the gift shop, and they're all immediately just going to want everything. So it's everything. Like the same thing. And it's like, then they pick out the item for the engraving, and it's like, it's not even like, I don't know, it's not like they've themed this thing as like, oh yeah, we're, you know, this is where Wily Wolf comes to his leather shop and does a, you know, makes you a thing.
Right.
It's like, it's just some like crummy looking machine next to the register that they just put it in there and like, what do you want it to say? And it just like kind of does it in this like very unimpressive way.
No flourish.
It's like, yeah. And it's like, I mean, I guess you get the same product, I guess, you know, but it's like, it's just like, okay, all right, was this worth it? You know, I don't know.
My real question is, are you going to open Jay's Wolf Lodge?
I mean, like, honestly, no, I'm not. But like, I feel like I could be in charge of this place and just make like some very obvious, clear changes that would make it like robust and fun the whole time.
Sure.
Like, and that would not feel icky and scratchy and annoying and frustrating. I will shout out one employee. His name was Nader.
Nader,
if you're listening, he worked down at the laser tag. I hope you don't get fired for being a good employee. But we went to go do the bowling, which I will say, the bowling, hands down, the most fun thing we did.
Okay.
Easily. It was great. But like, again, like, if you went in thinking like, oh, I love bowling alleys, I can't wait to go bowling, and then you got down there and found out that it was like a mini bowling alley, I could see that being disappointing to you.
I could see that, yeah.
But to me, it was like a fun discovery. So it's not like, I don't know if you've ever heard of like duck pin bowling. It wasn't quite that. It was like, it was really just like mini bowling, like small ball, short lane, short pin bowling.
Okay.
Yeah. And they had like six lanes, and it was pretty good. And like, there were like small balls, so even the kids could like hold the ball. There wasn't like some big giant unwieldy bowling ball for them to deal with. And you could do bumpers, and it was all very self-explanatory. But you had to go get these like tokens to go play the game.
Okay.
And with the Wolf Pass, you got a free game for everybody.
Okay.
But of course, we only had them for the kids. So it was like, well, you know, if we want to play too, we got to like buy the tokens or whatever.
Right.
And so I'm like, okay. So but then you don't buy them at the bowling alley. You got to walk back across the whole venue to the laser tag. That's where you buy the bowling tokens, obviously.
Obviously.
Obviously. And I get there, and there's this guy, Nader, behind the counter. And I'm like, okay, so I've got the Wolf Passes, and like, I need to guess buy some more. And I'm like, do we want to play two games? Do we want to like, I'm like trying to do the math. I'm like, is Beth going to play? Is mom going to play? I don't know. And he's like, do you want to do the family pass? And I'm like, thinking of my arcade experience, like, oh, I've been burned on your upsell before.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't know, how many tokens are the family pass? And he's like, he just like kind of gives me like a wink, and he's like, dude, whatever you tell me, I'll just give you double. And I was like, oh, well, thanks. So then I was like, well, obviously all of us will be playing two games or whatever.
So, right, right, so right. Yes.
He gave me like 15 tokens, and I was like, thank you.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So Nader, great. Thank you for understanding.
If you made it this far.
If you made it this far.
Into the scathing review.
Well, maybe they did. Maybe people at the Great Wolf Lodge are like, hey, this guy gets it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe the employees are like, thank you.
Finally, someone hears us.
Someone hears our struggle. I bet they're all making like only minimum wage. And they're working terrible hours is what I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's understandable. Yeah. I suppose that's a very big and important disclaimer is that it's not going after the people themselves.
Oh, I'm going after management needs, and I bet it's not even the managers at the place, because this is like a place that has several locations across the country.
Yeah.
So it's whoever is at the tippity top of Wolf Lodge management. Oh, dude, you can make some changes and have a great thing. You're doing the bare minimum and you know it. You know it and you don't have to. It could be great. It could be great. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Man, I don't even know where I was at.
Jay, you were H with these people.
I was. Ew. I'm being H with these people, Ben.
Hot.
Hot.
Spicy. And in this case, not H-A-W-T, but like wow, my mouth hurts.
Oh,
hot. Yeah.
Having some hot takes. The bowling was fun. Nate went up there and his very first bowl ever was a strike.
Wow.
And I was like very proud of him for that. And he was like so happy with it. That was great. It was hard to get a strike on it. Like this particular form of bowling.
Okay.
It was like, it took me a little while to figure out because, you know, these tiny little balls, you know, I'm a lot bigger than the kids. I could really zing it, you know.
Yeah, just straight.
I was like, let's go, boom. And you could like launch it like a cannon down there. And those pins would explode like crazy. And there'd be like one standing every time. And I eventually figured out I was throwing it too hard.
Oh.
I was like cannonballing straight through the pins rather than letting the ball ricochet around and hit some stuff as well.
I see.
So that was a good adjustment on day two of bowling.
Look at you go, Jay.
I know.
Moving on up in the world.
So that was fun. And also the water park itself was pretty fun too.
Yeah.
Like there was a bunch of different kinds of pools, like a lazy river and some slides and a wave pool and like a splash zone and all that. And every single one of those areas, the kids loved.
Yeah.
And they had this like giant, like 1,000-gallon bucket or something up at the tip top of the whole park. And like every, I don't know, 10 minutes or so, it would finish filling with water and just jump onto the people below.
Dude, I'm not gonna lie, the whole time I just kept thinking to myself, because I've always wanted a pool for like an eventual house.
Yeah.
I was like, I am trying to understand the engineering that went into this like bucket pour, because it's mostly just physics. But I was like,
yeah,
I want one of these.
It's just like a pump into a
Large pail.
Into a large pail that is like sitting on an offset axle, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could do that.
Pretty much it. Yeah.
Right.
Definitely. I don't know how it does the reset, but that's got to be, it's definitely figure outable.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that'd be a blast. But so the moment we got there, like we got in the room, we changed into the stuff, we went into the water park, and like right away, Nick and Nate are like, we want to go on the slides. And we're like, let's go. You know, we have the momentum, we have the enthusiasm, like don't leave room for fear to creep in about going down the slides. So we like run up the slides and we're like standing, like there's like this little red roof that the bucket pours directly on top of so that it will like splatter all around and not just like completely destroy somebody with the full force of its 1,000 gallons. But we were standing, the way the line was situated was we were like one step past the red roof and we had not seen the bucket dump yet.
Oh my gosh.
It starts dinging and we're like, oh, I think it's going to pour. And it dumps and we were in the splash zone. I think we got hit harder than anyone else in the park in that moment. And I mean, for like 4 solid seconds, I was like leaning over the kids like, oh my gosh, this is unbelievable amounts of water.
Yes, I mean, when I go back to like my aquarium days, I'm like, this would be like literally taking a 1,000-gallon aquarium and dumping it out in the course of like 1 second.
1 second.
Yeah.
It just goes. We'd been there for like 2 minutes and without warning, me and Beth, who both like covered Nick and Nate, were just, you know, soaked to our bones.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
With water. And then they were both very spooked by it and did not want to go down the slides.
Yeah.
So yeah. They eventually did work up the courage and go back up there. But, our momentum was halted by the big bucket. But
that would do it.
Even that, it was kind of a funny story.
That's a good one. Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. Being absolutely annihilated by that much water.
Yeah. It was funny.
Good times.
There you go. That was the Great Wolf Lodge.
How many stars out of five would you give it?
I mean, I wouldn't go back.
Three?
No.
Generous?
No.
Generous or mean?
No, that'd be generous. I'm like decided between a one and a two.
No,
you know,
way.
Maybe like a one and a half, maybe.
Wow.
But here's the thing. If they were not nickel and diming you every turn, if they weren't making you feel bad about every decision you made, if the arcade had any kind of fair treatment,
I understand what you're saying. It's not the offering that's the issue. It's not the infrastructure. It's not like a poor experience. It's not like the things aren't enjoyable. It's just like the value is so far off.
Right.
That is just like wrenching all of the enjoyment from the experience.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So if you're the kids and you're not the ones feeling the value,
right.
Like it's a blast.
Your kids probably will listen to this and be like, "Dad, you didn't have a great time that day." I'd be like, "No, I did." My wallet just really hurt afterwards.
Watching them have fun is great.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, you go to the arcade and it's like, if someone was like, "Hey, do you want to go to the arcade and play like 10 games for like, you know, $150? You'd be like, absolutely not.
Right.
You know, that would be ridiculous. Yeah. But that's what it was. And you were like tricked into it.
Yeah.
And it just felt like you were being taken advantage of. Even when we left, we like looked at the bill and it was like $106 for parking or something.
Oh,
it was like,
sure.
For parking? What are you talking about? You have to park there. You can't not park there.
Where else are we supposed to go?
It's just like, they could put any number on the parking, you know?
Right.
What are you going to do about it? You have to park there. I was like, this complete, it was like that. It's just constant. So I'm not one to like complain about these things very often. It just makes you feel stupid all the time, and you're just trying to give your family a fun weekend.
I understand.
And yeah, so and it's like, for that much money, it's supposed to feel like, oh, this is going to be a great deal too.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it's not a great deal. It's a terrible deal.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you're right. The offerings, it's not like what they have to offer isn't good. It's the way in which it is conducted that is very poor.
Yeah. I follow your logic completely. Well, so why don't we close on a happy note, which was just, this is just an observation I've slowly been able to like take in, is like Addie's been able to become a bit more active inside of like activities I've been taking her to. But is there anything more fun than watching your kids have fun?
No, I don't think so. It's more fun, I think, than having fun yourself.
I agree with you completely. Yeah. Like it is like, when you are watching them have a blast, it is like, it doesn't matter what I'm doing. This is worth it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, it is. That is true. It was like, I got, me and Luke were in the wave pool and it was like, I don't think he could have been happier. You know,
right.
He was having an absolute blast. Everything about it was good to him. I would say right up there when, this is another thing. It's like, maybe not even them having fun, but like watching your kids be supportive of their siblings.
Oh yeah.
Is another one. So like I said, Nate got a strike, and like Luke knew a little bit about bowling from some of his friends at school or whatever. Okay. So he was telling me ahead of time, like about strikers, which is what his word for getting a strike was.
I love it.
And so like Nate went up there, and like Luke went first and he knocked down like 9 pins, and then like Nick went, and then Nate went up and got a strike right away. And like right away, I was like, oh no, like Nate did a thing that Luke didn't do, and he did it a little bit better. And it's going to upset Luke. Like,
right.
I was like, oh no, this is,
this is going to be tough. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, but you know, Nate, you know, of course I'm like not going to, you know, and I don't want this moment to be ruined for Nate either. Cause it's like very cool for him that he did it.
Right.
I'm like so proud of him. Like, oh my God, you did it on your literal first try ever doing anything, but like the best possible outcome.
Right.
And I'm like, I want him to remember that. So he turns around and I'm like, Nate, you got a strike. And you know, me and, you know, mom and Beth are all just like, oh my gosh. And like, to my utter shock, Luke was just like, Nate, that was amazing. That was, you know, and he gave him this huge high five. And I was like, that to me, I was like, oh,
Luke, that was so, I was so proud of Luke, you know?
I know, yeah, yeah. That's amazing. It's like trip made.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, that was a great moment. That was a great moment for the whole family.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
And Luke did eventually get a strike, so.
There we go. Yeah. It worked out.
On like the 10th frame too, which was the best one because then it was like, you get to go again.
Right. Yeah. It's not over.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah. That's incredible.
So that worked out.
There we go. Well, yeah. the scathing review of the Great Wolf Lodge.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Good times were had, if not expensive ones.
Yeah.
But guys, as per always, thank you so much for tuning into the pop, for listening along with us. If you'd like to get in on that sweet, sweet vinyl record that we are going to be recording, and it's an exclusive episode of the pop, only available on vinyl.
Yeah.
You can do so through our Patreon, patreon.com/popcornculture. That is the quarterly merch tier. That'll be linked in the description down below. Also, Through the Griffin Door is going back on tour. So we've got links to all that in the description down below. That's going to be taking place in the southeast of the United States. We are going to Charlotte, Orlando, Tampa, Jacksonville, Atlanta, and Nashville.
There you go. There's three Florida cities. And I'm like, but which one? It's not Miami.
It's not Miami. Yeah. So yeah, we're gonna be hitting all those stops. It's gonna be so much fun. I feel like it is just always a blast to get to meet everybody in the greater Super Carlin Brothers community. Yeah. We're gonna be doing a live Jay versus Ben, an episode of Through the Gryffindor. We'll be doing Q&A. We have a VIP meet and greet, all sorts of fun stuff going on. Be sure to check that out. But otherwise, guys, until next time.
Pop pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year, too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit Bartesian.com/cocktail. That's Bartesian.com/cocktail.
Y'all, I am so excited because Through the Gryffindor is heading back out on tour. Starting in February of 2025, we'll be performing live shows in Charlotte, Orlando, Tampa, Jacksonville, Atlanta, and Nashville. And as always, we will be bringing all of the magic with a tour-long Jay versus Ben trivia showdown with questions submitted and asked by all of you. And then, of course, we will dim the lights for a live recording of Through the Gryffindor. And y'all, these nights have made for some of my all-time favorite since we have started making content on the internet. It is truly a magical evening, nerding out Harry Potter style with the very best community online. Plus, we have a VIP upgrade for each show if you want to come and meet Jay and I, take photos, ask questions, and score an exclusive signed tour poster before the show begins. We would love to see you. We'd love to meet you, and we hope you will come and join us for all of the fun. Tickets are available in the show notes for every show or at supercarlinbrothers.com.